Conference Committee on House Bill 3484, Friday, July 30th, 1993, 3 o'clock p.m., hearing room H-170.
House Bill 3484, and staff, maybe you could tell us where we were when we left this last.
When we left this last, there were some discussions underway regarding Senate Bill 366. The Commerce Committee shut down, and so any changes to that PIP bill were going to have to be made through this bill. The people who are working on both sides of 366 have been meeting frequently, if not constantly, to try to work out an agreement. The Dash 9 amendments, I believe, come closest to that consensus. You have both those Dash 9s and a Hannon Gross copy of the Dash 9s. These bills modify that PIP arrangement. They limit reimbursement of PIP payments made on behalf of a person only to the extent that the total amount of benefits paid exceed the economic damages suffered. They state that for purposes of mandating kinds or amounts of coverage that motor vehicle liability policies must contain, that comprehensive general liability policies, excess liability policies, and umbrella liability policies are not to be considered motor vehicle liability policies. And then we need an effective date for that to fill in today, and I'm hoping Mr. Monroe or Ms. Eyman have that effective date. And they also provide that a motor vehicle bodily injury liability policy shall have the same limits for uninsured motorist coverage as for the bodily injury liability coverage unless the insured elects lower limits. And this change would apply to policies issued or renewed after July 1, 1994.
Questions to staff's report on the B9 amendments? That's also in front of you in a hand engrossed version that it's 6:30. Senator?
I guess I was hoping maybe we could hear briefly from both the
Would the proponents of B9s
or whoever.
B9s come forward.
Probably Representative Bowles should come up.
Well, I'd rather have Brian come up.
Brian.
He wants to talk about 10.
I'm chopping at the bit.
I want to talk about the 9s first. Katie.
Okay.
Aren't you the 9s?
Actually, the 9s are a combination.
Okay.
I'd say
Monroe. Mr. Monroe, then.
Right. Just real briefly.
For the record, your name, please.
My name is Katie Eyman, representing the Oregon Trial Lawyers, Representative Repine. The B9s represent a combination of concerns and are basically the result of bargaining. There is a change in the B10 to Section 11, which we've also agreed to adopt, that Mr. Brian Bowe will tell you about. There's, the B10 also have a change to Section 10, which we will not be adopting. Basically, what Section 10 does is it reverses the Cannamore case. Section 11 removes language that says now a company has to offer uninsured motorist coverage and says that uninsured, underinsured coverage should be the same as the bodily limit. But in order for a person to get lower limits, they have to sign a statement that would have to be approved by the Department of Insurance and Finance. That statement, as our understanding, will be approved to benefit the consumers if they are aware of what they're purchasing and what they're giving up. And finally, the Section 9 reverses the case Babb versus Mid-Century and Yoakum versus Farmers. Section 9 does not affect another statute, which is which affects people who are hit by uninsured drivers. So we're not at all affecting people hit by uninsured drivers. They'll still be able to use their full damages before there's any reduction in the PIP damages.
Take a minute
yeah.
to ask.
Let's go.
Are you two both okay on the B9 amendments now?
That's accurate, yeah. For the record, Jack Monroe speaking on behalf of the American Insurance Association.
We have a quick question for you, Senator. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask if the representations made by Ms. Iman about the cases and how this all is intended to work, whether those are accurate as far as you're concerned.
Well, I'm not intimately familiar with the cases that have been cited, so I'm probably not able to respond specifically to the question.
Mr. Monroe, how about Ms. Iman also mentioned on page 3 of the B9s, the addition of the language that is
Mr.
on B10, yes, page 3. Is that something that you're also, she had included that in her
Mr. Chairman,
of the B9?
I would concur with the amendments that Mr. Bowe will speak to that deal with, I guess it's subsection 3, or subsection C, 2C of section 11, if you will, please.
Is it the modern? I'm going to ask for about a 5-minute recess. We're voting on Senate Bill 81, and so they need all the votes to the floor, and they're ready to go right now. So I'll just stand for recess for, let's say, 5 minutes. We'll be right back. I think when we left, Mr. Monroe was concluding his comments about what I had asked in regards to Mr. Bowe's proposed amendments that we find in B10, and you agreed with Ms. Iman that the ones that are on page 3 of the dash 10s would be acceptable to you also, correct?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Jack Monroe, again, I concur with your statement, and that is the language on lines 9 and 10 of page 3 of 3484-B10 is most acceptable to me.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
May I ask a few questions?
Go ahead.
Mr. Monroe, page 1 of the B9 amendments, excess liability policies, as I understand that language, that refers to a separate policy for excess liability. It does not refer to that portion of insurance above the financial responsibility minimum set by statute. Is that your understanding as well?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rasmussen, that would be, I think Section 10 is clear on its face, and it says it as a matter of operational law that excess liability policies, umbrella liability policies, and CGL policies are not motor vehicle liability insurance policies. Now, going one step further, I would concur that it does not deal with any limits above the financial responsibility limit in a primary underlying motor vehicle policy.
So, for example, if I have a $100,000 policy and then in addition I buy a separate excess or umbrella policy, it's that separate policy that this is referring
it,
to.
It refers to a separate excess or umbrella policy.
Okay. And then, as I understand Section 9 then, we are overruling the Babb case insofar as an injured person has suffered economic damages, which are some of the amendments that we're doing today. Is that your understanding, too?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rasmussen, I responded earlier, I guess, indicating that I'm not intimately familiar with the Babb case or the other case that was mentioned, so I would not feel comfortable indicating that Section 9 overrules that case or any other case. In my judgment, Section 9 says that PIP reimbursement will be impacted only when the economic damages are in the excess of the coverages that are listed in the rest of Section 9.
Maybe Ms. Iman could respond. And
there's, under current law, the money from a liability company goes first to reimburse a PIP carrier, which is the injured party's own insurer, for their medical bills, regardless of the damages of the injured person. So what this does is says that to the extent that the injured person, injuries, economic damages, excuse me, economic damages exceed the available insurance. Let me start over. Well, it basically says the money from the liability carrier shall first go to pay the economic damages of the injured person. Then if there's more money left over than their economic damages, that will be used to reimburse the tip.
All right. That makes sense to me then. Okay. Just a couple more questions if I may.
Senator, go ahead.
It doesn't look to me like the Section 9 deals with uninsured motorist benefits, which is governed, I think, by a different statute, which allows for this kind of, disallows any PIP offset.
Right. That's.
Is that your understanding, too?
Yeah. Right now, 742.542 says that PIP benefits shall reduce a person's damages, but shall not reduce their uninsured coverage. And so Section 9 doesn't impact that at all.
All right. And my last.
If I might for a second.
Certainly.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rasmussen, it's obvious, I guess, from the bill that whatever it is, 742.542 is not being repealed here. 742.542 does deal with the question of reimbursement as it relates to uninsured motorist coverage, and it essentially says, as Ms. Hyman has indicated, that if it's a limits case, that it doesn't go to reduce the, you know, the limits. It creates a unique situation as it relates to uninsured motorist coverages.
Okay, and the last question, if I may,
okay.
Mr. Chair, is Section 11. I didn't understand that completely. This requires uninsured motorist limits to be the same as primary limits unless an election is made to buy lower limits for UM. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, or Senator Rasmussen, I think that's an accurate statement. The existing law right now is that companies, insurers, have to offer limits over and above the FR limits. This essentially alters that scheme and says that the BI and the UIM limits will be the same unless an election for a lower limit is made, and the section includes language that indicates how that election is to be made and what would govern it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me because in my automobile insurance company doesn't write policies for less than the policy limit, UM policies for less than that, just so that they don't even have to deal with that issue. So, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your indulgence.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions of these witnesses? Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Bo, do you have some comments?
Only just Brian Bo, representing the National Association of Independent Insurers. Mr. Chair, only just to amplify on what Ms. Hyman and Mr. Monroe alluded to earlier is that on page 3, lines 8 and 9, there's some new language there on the B-10 amendments that state replace insurer with the language by the same company or group of companies under common ownership or control. And this simply would allow companies that maintain different corporate entities for the different markets that they write, preferred, standard, or substandard, to transfer uninsured without redoing the notification that the earlier sections of the bill prescribe, unless those parts of the policy are materially altered. That's
any questions, Mr. Bo? Very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dwyer, do we have a work session?
We are
in a work session.
Senator Dwyer.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, old habits are hard to break. Senator Dwyer. Usually let me just call you Bill.
I would like on the B-10 amendment.
On the B-10 amendment, yes.
On line 16 after policies, I'd like to delete the word if. Delete all of line 17 and all of line 18.
Senator Dwyer on the dash B-10 amendments dated 7/30/93. On page 1 of the proposed amendments, has deleted on line 16, at the end of that sentence, the word if, and then the total deletions of line 17 and 18.
Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, Senator Kinnamer, sir, excuse me.
Actually, don't we need to save the colon, just as a technical matter?
Probably yes. True. Bring the colon up to, and it wouldn't, I wonder, is it still be policies at the end of that sentence, or would it be policy? Would it be now liability?
It would be policies.
Okay, so we save the colon. Okay. That was the intent of Senator Dwyer's motion, I know. Discussion? Any opposition? Not hearing any, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the B-10 amendment.
One other amendment, Senator, we need to add on page 3 the date, operative date on November 1, 93.
Page 3, B-10. 1:30. Okay, we need to add
November 1.
I would move that we add November 1.
1993. Senator Dwyer, on page 3 of the B-10 proposed amendments, says on line 30 has added the date November 1, 1993. Discussion. Opposition. So ordered. Now we have amended bill. Motion, Senator Dwyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move the B-10 amendments as amended.
Senator Dwyer moves the B-10 amendments dated 7:30 93 as amended to House Bill 3484. For the discussion. Call the roll.
Senator Dwyer?
Aye.
Senator Kinnamer?
Aye.
Senator Rasmussen?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Reichen?
Aye.
Chair?
Aye. House Bill 3484, having been amended, is approved.
I'll be back to sign.
Shall we move the bill now?
Okay, I'll find you on the floor.
I've been summoned to...
I would like to move the bill.
We want to move the bill.
Oh, I thought you just moved the
bill. We moved the amendments.
Sorry.
Well, we can move them with that.
No, I've got
it. Yeah, well, I would move the bill as amended.
To concur, I think.
To concur.
Right.
Well, you have to have a little more formal statement than that, don't you?
Well, whatever it was.
Whatever.
Well, the motion would be to concur with the Senate amendments and further amend the bill and be repassed.
All right.
House concur with the Senate.
Well, it's not really the motion.
It's close.
Okay, Senator Dwyer moves that we concur on the amendments, and as the bill has been amended in the conference committee, and repass the bill. Further discussion? Call roll.
That's incredible.
Senator Dwyer?
Aye.
Senator Kinnamer?
Aye.
Senator Rasmussen?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative
Reichen? Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. House Bill 3484 passes.
Okay. Anybody want to sign these committee reports?
I'll sign it.
There's three. We've got to get three overtures.
Are we adjourned?
Yes.
Okay.